So we feel very confident at this point in time saying we will get our environmental permit in due course. I can't tell you if it's going to be a month or 6 months, but we believe it's going to happen.
Commodity Global Expo with John Darch and Ken McLeod with Sonora Gold. How's it going?
Really great. Thank you.
Thank you.
To meet you.
Pleased to meet you. Pleased to meet both of you. Let's talk about the project here. Let's give me a 30,000-foot view about the project. For those that don't know, where is it at? And tell me about that. Also tell me about your background. John.
My background is not involved in finance and mining.
For the last 40-odd years, went from banking into
creating my own public companies. The most notable would have been Asia Pacific Resources, where we developed over 1 billion tons of high-grade potash and farming.
It was eventually taken over by this Thai company for about $130 million US when we were not able to get the mining license because we were not Thai.
They were simple. The other one would have been Kruger
Institute Developments, where we started by taking a majority interest in Metarex in South Africa, which at that time was a private company. The idea of doing that was to get cash flow, which we regarded as being critical for a small company. Having done that, we then privatized the Chibolewa Copper Well in Zambia, which is quite a feat for a junior company to do. We then merged with Mindex in Norway, and then we opened up the first coal mine in Greenland, and in the Philippines, we had operations around the world. I left that company in 2002, having spent so many years on the road with various companies, etc. And those are just two of the main ones. And then joined Ken to work on a geothermal project with Western Geopark. So my background's in finance, and those are the companies, yes.
Excellent. Ken, tell me about your background a little bit, and then if you can take a little bit deeper dive into Sonora Gold.
Certainly, Andy. Thank you for the opportunity as well. I started off with my career as a mechanical engineer, and then in 1981, jumped into the oil and gas business based in Houston. And we were operating quite nicely there in the first few years of my new career. And then, of course, the oil and gas business got a little tough, and then it got involved in the mining business. And so we developed some small mining projects, first in Canada and in the U.S. And then in the late 90s, got back into the oil business in a substantial way. We were drilling the world's first offshore horizontal completion well in the South China Sea off Calawan Island, the Philippines. So that became a successful venture. Eventually, we took it through the then Vancouver Stock Exchange and then onto the New York Stock Exchange after a couple of years. So that went well. And then in the 90s, I got involved as the first foreign mining company to sign a deal with Mobutu while it was still president of the Congo, the DRC. And so we signed a deal there. We were developing a cobalt tailings and hard rock project. And I took that all the way through to 2002 when John and I got together. And we decided we were set up a geothermal energy company. Started off in Canada, eventually moved to the Geysers Field in California. It became very successful. The company was taken over in 2009. Set up a private company in the Philippines after that. Then involved in renewable energy in both hydro and geothermal energy. And I sold that company in 2014, became president and CEO of Sonoro. And that has been my sole focus ever since. So, it's a full-time job as it is, but it was, for the politics in Mexico the past few years, it's an even greater full-time job.
So tell me a little bit about the politics right now. There's a lot of concern about mining in Mexico. Tell me about yourself and your team. How are you navigating that? This is uncertain, if you would, that can be uncertain environment in Mexico.
Well, our team has been operating in Mexico for as much as 50 years. Our mining engineer and VP of operations started off with Peñoles 50 years ago, and he's been involved in the design and construction and operation of numerous open pit heap leach mines in Mexico, like the Mulatos mine, La Colorada, and so on and so forth. And our head geologist, Mel Hardrick, who's the VP of exploration, he's discovered over 5 million ounces of gold over his career, mostly in Mexico, but a little bit in the United States, but essentially 5 million in Mexico alone. Some of the notables would be La Colorada and San Antonio, for example. These are large ones. The company went, Arsenuro Gold went public in 2011 with a project called Cipriona, which we sold to Agnico Eagle in 2016. And that enabled us to fund the two projects we currently have, San Marcial and the Cerro Caliche project. And so we have a wealth of expertise in Mexico. So we're no strangers to the political changes in Mexico. And we're not concerned about these changes anymore. And I can be happy to talk about that in greater detail because it is a topical issue.
Yeah, if you could talk about that right now a little bit more in detail, and then tell me a little bit about the projects. And then, John, I want to talk to you about the share structure. But if we could, tell me a little bit more about that.
First, I'll talk about the project. We started off drilling in 2018 on this project, Cerro Caliche. There's a grand total of 55,000 meters of drilling. We've identified in the resource within the pit shells just under 500,000 ounces. And there's a further, according to SRK, there's a further almost 300,000 ounces outside of the pit shells that are drilled, but the drill spacing is not tight enough to classify it yet. Okay. Now, we will, of course, do some additional drilling in order to classify, to bring it into the pit shells in due course. But we view the project as a 2 million ounce potential. And we started off on the basis of developing a large open pitable heat bleach bauxite deposit. And we've been very successful. In fact, we wanted to start off small with a pilot plant 2-3 years ago. But we were so successful with the drilling that we decided, oh, let's keep on drilling and keep on drilling. So now we're at the point where we produced a PEA in October of 2023, based upon the resource that SRK had identified in earlier in 2023. And it's based upon the 500,000 ounce within the pit shells at this point in time. And that gives us a throughput of 11,000 tons per day and a net gold production of 33,000 ounces a year over a 9-year life of mine. Now, that is strictly based upon the drilling we have done to date in the mineralized zones. 30% has been drilled. 70% of the known mineralized zones have not been drilled yet. They are mineralized because we have identified the mineralization at surface with surface sampling, but that's as far as we've gone with that 70%. So it stands to reason that if we keep on drilling, and every single hole we drilled over the past 5 years, we've encountered mineralization. Mm-hmm. So no reason to believe that we will not keep a very, very high record of hitting the mineralization and going forward. So we're comfortable in saying the target is 2 million ounces, but I consider a million ounces to be fait accompli at this point in time. So that's the project as it stands. So the goal right now is to get the environmental impact statement approval mm-hmm. from San Bernardino, the environmental agency, and then go into production. And the happy day would occur a year after we get the environmental approval, we would anticipate pouring the first doré bar within 12 months.
Good.
Our team has done it faster than that, but within 12 months is reasonable. So where do I think we're going to go now with the environmental permitting? We submitted the environmental impact statement to SEMARNAT in early 2022. We went through the entire process of question and answer, question and answer and everything. We fully expected to have the permit approval in 2022 by the end of the year. So now we're 2 years into the permitting process of where we would have expected to get the approval. And if we had received that, which by law we should have received 2 years ago, then we'd be in production a year ago. So there's a lost opportunity right now by having to stand still for the past 2 years waiting for the change in government. So that change has occurred. Now we have President Sheinbaum. Claudia Sheinbaum has come in and she's a breath of fresh air to us miners. I look at it from the point of view of she has been able to shake loose from the old administration of López Obrador, and they were able to achieve the reforms that they wanted in the legal side of running the affairs in Mexico, and also with the National Guard changing from private to military overseeing. So as of October the 1st, she became the president. October the 2nd, she put out their 100-point pledge to the Mexican people. in an earlier pledge from the earlier administration, one point was, well, and I think it was point 87, was that a potential ban on future open pit mining. So on October the 2nd, she puts out a new 100-point plan. And guess what's missing? There is no potential ban on future open pit mining.
So that was such insane reason not to invest in Mexico. It was a ban on open pit mining, and that you're telling me is no longer the case. Is that correct?
Well, as you know, bad news travels around the world before the good news gets out of bed. Well, if that is the case in Mexico, all we heard in the past 2 years was you're not getting your environmental permit. And then it became even more pronounced since April of this year when they started ramping up the rhetoric as to no future open pit mining. But guess what? On Tuesday of last week, President Sheinbaum hosted in the palace in Mexico City, hosted over 200 CEOs from the U.S.-Mexico Forum, where she stated without hesitation that your investments in Mexico are safe. We welcome more foreign investment into Mexico. And of course, mining by foreign investors such as us is part of the nearshoring that she so desperately needs in order to keep the economy stimulated. Mm-hmm. So we feel very confident at this point in the time saying we will get our environmental permit in due course. I can't tell you if it's going to be a month or 6 months, but we believe it's going to happen.
Okay, so you answered a lot of questions there that I had, and primarily it was an ETA. So we're looking at an ETA of 6 to 12 runs in fact, for you. Expectation for you to get permitted, correct?
It could be as much as 6 months. I don't believe it would be much longer because we have the support of the government of Sonora State. And that government is working really hard on behalf of the mining companies, not just us, but other mining companies, because 25% of the GDP of Sonora State is reliant on the mining industry. 8% of the GDP for Mexico as a whole is reliant on the mining. So this is an important issue for Governor Durazo of Sonora State. He wants to get these permits approved ASAP, and we are getting the support to ensure that with their assistance, we will get through SEMARNAT in reasonably quick time.
Excellent. And so then you're looking at, and I'm just reiterating, core involved within 12 months of being approved.
That is a plan. We've done it before with our team. And actually at El Castillo and La Colorada were much, much less than 12 months from the date of approval of the MIA until the first dory bar was poured.
Real quick on about infrastructure to the mine, roads, power, everything is complete to Riquillo as of right now, correct?
Right now, the road infrastructure is very, very significant because we built drill pads all over the place.
Right.
Also, we're in a ranch. And this is a good thing about, from an environmental perspective, we are on a producing ranch with 800, 1,000 head of cattle, living very harmoniously together with our mining enterprise. There's a mine on next door to us, the Cerro Prieto mine. It's been operating for 9 years. So the rancher is familiar with dealing with miners. And so it's, once again, it's a harmonious relationship you have with the rancher. So there, we're not disturbing any new ground, any pristine ground. There are no environmental issues as far as the rock is concerned. There is no arsenic. There's no manganese. And so from that point of view, we will not be contaminating downstream. As far as water supply is concerned, the San Miguel Aquifer to our north, about 8 kilometers away, where we would tap into it, there's an excess of availability for the San Miguel Aquifer. And we purchased the rights to 250,000 cubic meters of water per annum from one of the ranchers. So all of that is very, very positive. But mostly the nearest town is Cucurpi, and it's 14 kilometers distant. And there's no sightline degradation. You cannot see a project from Cucurpi. But we do hire people from Cucurpi, so there's a lot of local support.
Yeah.
And that is one of the greatest assets to have is when you have the support of the local community without any kind of interference from environmental groups, because we are in a disturbed area. We're an area where the locals need us and want us. And it's a very satisfactory situation to be in. And we're surrounded by mines. At Agnico Eagle's Santa Gertrudis, future mine, 8 kilometers to our north. The Mercedes mine on the same structure, 8 kilometers to our southeast. And the Cerro Prieto mine adjacent to us, we could throw a rock into their open pit.
Okay, excellent. John, let me pivot to you. Let's talk about the shares, if you would, as well as the financing. How many shares do we currently have outstanding that work to raise money at, and what levels have we raised money at?
I joined the company at the tail end of 2018.
Okay.
Having worked with Ken before in the geothermal project, he invited me to participate, and I joined as the chairman. At that time, I had strong connections over in Europe from prior deals, and so we look at our share structure now, and we have something like 200 million shares outstanding. The shares, we've issued shares at 15 cents, 10 cents, and most recently at 5 cents. But then as a result of the summit being very difficult for us, the uncertainty about what was going on in Mexico.
Okay.
Now, all the shares, the insiders, like we showed you being Ken, as I said, Mel Herdrick, Lee Diaz, and myself, we hold a total of about 24% of the issued shares. Our average cost is about 13 cents a share.
Okay.
And when I joined the company,
it's music to my ears, not to interrupt you, that somebody insiders own it, and I mean this with all respect, that you're somewhat underwater, so you're incentivized.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yes. That's a go ahead. No, it's a fact, very much a fact. And I think, you know, what distinguishes us from other junior companies, and I think there are four or five reasons which I will give you, but in terms of the share side, yes, we have the shares. Yes, we are underwater. But it's never stopped our determination moving forward. And I think how that's reflected is that when we were hand on mine plan, we were to be in production in 2022. We'd arranged for project financing to be available. And everything was moving smoothly. And including in the project financing were property payments, which come out like a mortgage payment.
That's right.
So when the licensing come through, project finance was put to one side. So the insiders have put up $3.5 million into the company, unsecured, no repayment terms, specifically to pay the property payments and other operational costs.
So that would be my next question, and you already answered, not to interrupt you, what are the terms? And it says there are no terms.
No terms. No. And in my recent chairman's letter, which came out, I think, about a week ago, I stated in there, it's not the company's intention to convert the shares, is to get repayments from profits and leak. And that's an important part to understand. So not only do the insiders have that strong commitment to the company, they demonstrate that through the belief of the company by putting up unsecured loans to make sure that it will not fail. And that is why we have such a strong support from our European shareholders. If I may tell you why we have that strong support. Over the years, we developed projects, Asia Pacific Sources, caused a huge success. Went to $11, eventually sold for about $140 million to a Thai company through development, where we privatized the Chibuno Copper Mine, which was Mindex. We did a lot of good things. So as you know, when people make money, they tend to follow the jockeys. And that was my conversation with Rick Rule. A jockey on a donkey will win a race. So anyway, we have that sort of strong level of support over there. And I think what's most important about Sonora, though, is not just that shareholder base or the loans, etc. I ask you to consider Sonora as a whole. And we have a double-sided fact sheet, which we call Why Sonora. And I think it shows why we are quite unique. And unique is a funny word to use because either you are or you're not. I'm sure there's a similar company somewhere. But if I give you the five essential components that we had, then you'll understand what they mean.
Please.
It's the team. The team is comprised of four individuals. Each have got 40 years' experience in mining. Each have been successful in their own ways. They've all come together as one project. So it's not a matter of if you do not like this company, we'll show you a different way. So we are dedicated to this company. What's more important, though, we have four different disciplines: geology, engineering, mining, and marketing. You know what it's like with a company that's driven by an engineer or a geologist or a financial guy or whatever. We have that balance that we are four successful mining people who absolutely operate a commercial operation. This is not a promotion, as most employers says. This is a commercial operation, which is why we continue to fund it ourselves. And the reason we ever put our loans in and then convert it to shares, because we don't want unnecessary dilution. We want to demonstrate to our shareholders, we're not here to take advantage of you. We're here to support the company. If we are that confident we're in a good production, we'll wait, taking the money back. So we have a team who are competent. They believe in the project. They've demonstrated that belief by their share ownership in the company. Ken spoke well about the project itself. I think a lot of people have not understood. Only him has realized, that's where we go. Absolutely no. It was the business plan that dictated chemistry drill.
Correct.
It was not the drilling that dictated the business plan. And that's very important, because in a junior company, that most times is the potential size of it. It can't pass to the market
as the strain operation.
It's beyond their expertise. So people with the good hearts,
very woody,
they have to pray to be taken over. So they have no choice but drill, drill, drill. So when you have that mentality, when they look at the Sonora boat, they say, that's where you've gone. They need to understand it was a conscientious decision to stop. Don't waste any more money. And I give the analogy like a grocery store. If you sell baked beans, you don't have 10 years supply of baked beans. You just have what you need at the time. Now, the good thing is that is understood by our European shareholders. They understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. And the reason we do well over Europe, I believe, is because they enter into a project on like a 3 to 5 year tour. That's what we said. This is the 3 or 5 year project. And most recently, I've just come back from Sweden. We had a very successful show. And the European mentality of wanting to know value, are you a promotion? Are you a real business people? How much money do you have into it? We were able to answer all those things successfully, and that was fun. So I've given you 3 of these 5 essential components, the team, the project, the share structure. But there are 2 other things that are most important to be a successful company, whether it's a gold mining company or another company. You have a business failed. One of the things that Ken and I brought to this company was to have a defined business plan. Now, business plans are targets, and therefore you have to move and change as it goes. So we've never moved away from the business plans, go to production as soon as we can, as soon as we know we have sufficient, being confident that the rest is there. So the very firm business plan. And the last thing that I think is very important is access to funds. We've clearly demonstrated we have access to funds. In our careers, Ken and I, we've probably raised $300 to $400 million for various projects. So we're not concerned about that. Indeed, the capital cost to take Sonora to production is $15.5 million. That's all. And people go, well, what about the mill? And what about this? And that? There's no mill. This is an open pit. So to take away the romance of money, this is a glory-shaped gravel pit. Think of it that way.
Yep.
The capital cost is ours. So we have the skilled people. We have the dedicated people. We have the good shareholder base. We have a business plan, very firm, and we have access to cash. So unlike the majority of junior companies, we have the ability to take you forward. Now, hopefully, we'll continue to get brilliant support for shareholders. But if not, it can be relied on that the entire will make sure this project succeeds.
That's music to my ears, Dan.
Thank you. But it's true. So you can look at all the records to show that.
No, I didn't leave you. Anything that I'm missing, really, and this is a question to either one of you that investors should know. And I guess, and I'll give you my thoughts right after I ask you this that question. I think the largest detriment to our ability to thrive in the market in the past 2 years has been the attitude of the Mexican government towards mining in general, but most specifically towards open pit mines. Now, I believe now that the threat is gone. We can now breathe a sigh of relief. We can now start to tell people that Mexico is open for business in the mining sector, and specifically as well in the open pit mining sector, because our economy needs us. And when you contribute 70% of mining activity through open pit mines, that is a significant portion of the Mexican economy.
Absolutely.
I would just say, remember, it's less than 3 weeks since the new president announced, or did not announce, a ban on open pit mining. We have a shareholder base in Punta Vista, well over 6,000 to 7,000, who we keep regularly updated. And I think that's a good thing. We continue to update people, quarterly chairman's letters, news releases, etc. And what we've seen, the initial reaction, some people say, okay, now it's time to do something. But there's still a large number of people say, we like the temperature, we like what's happening, etc. But we wouldn't wait until we actually hear you got the license. So we anticipate that what we've seen in the last 15 days or something, which is about 7 million shares trading and they are ticking, for more and more people are getting comfortable saying, these guys support it, and they're committed. They obviously are stupid, or they're very shrewd people. And I'd like to refer to them, the rule. The time to look in Sonoro is when everybody's looking the other way.
Yeah, so I wasn't planning on doing this, and this is not an endorsement. Those gentlemen in Sonora Gold have not paid me to, or Drew, to cut this video. As of dropping this video, I am, as of now, not an investor. That more than likely will be changing. What I would say to all of you, if you really want to go what you just said, want to go where people are not going, and you also want to be justly compensated for the risks that you're taking. I will fully acknowledge that Mexico has been quite the risk in the past with this new information, which I was also somewhat aware of. That risk more than likely will be changing, but it is still a significant risk. That being said, as Rick Wu said, has taught me, you want to be justly compensated for risk that you're taking. What means a lot to me is the insiders that are holding it, and that view. I don't know what the dilution history, but it seems to me like it hasn't been much of that. I mean, you're already underwater. So if you do dilute more, and I'm just saying this from one gentleman to another, you're going to be hurting yourselves. So to me, that's a huge positive, because as an investor, I don't want to be diluted unless it's necessary at all costs. So I do really actually appreciate that. It does seem to me that Sonora is significantly undervalued. Again, this is not an endorsement. I have not been paid for this. And I am, as of this video cutting, I am not an investor that more likely to change. Gentlemen, I want to thank you.
Okay.
I look forward to spending more time with both.
Thank you. May I just say one other thing I forgot to mention, which is we will not roll back the stock. That's not our intention. That's a very important thing for people to understand, that if they get invested and wait, you get one day to finally even know about. That's not on our cards. We have no need to do it. We're comfortable with our ownership. We're comfortable with the fact we get our money back when we go to production. And if we look at what the net present value of the operation would be based upon current gold price, I could say this, but there's well over $200 million. It's easy to work out. It's not been demonstrated in the PEA. They showed $1,800 an ounce to $2,000 an ounce. But if there's a confidence level that 2,500 or 2,400 is a base now, it doesn't take long to calculate for the PEA what it will be and it should be. Let's just say it's significantly more than the current market price of this stuff.
Excellent. Ken, if you could please share, what is your ticker number, ticker symbols, what exchanges you're trading on, and your website you talked about.
Sonora Gold is trading on the TSX Venture Exchange under the trading symbol SGO, and is also on the OTCQB under the symbol SMOFF, and on the Frankfurt Exchange under the symbol 23SP. We've been trading now since 2011 on the TSX, so we have a long history now of trading on the various exchanges, including OTCQB.
Excellent. And I will put all of this information in the show notes below this video and in the podcast. Gentlemen, I just want to thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
A real pleasure.
A real pleasure.
Thank you, Andy.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Pleasure meeting you too, University.
You can use a print.